Hello, this is Linda Ornt from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Ladies Home Journal. This is the combined December and January issue, and we might possibly get into glamour for a little bit of our program here as we try to finish out the end of some of these systems. We were last reading from the body talk section of Ladies Home Journal, talking a lot about vision issues, so here's something more. Question: I have to hold this page away from my face just to read the print. Why can't I focus on the words when they're up close? Answer: blame it on presbyopia, a normal phenomenon in which the lens of the eye begins to harden, thanks to aging. When you're young, the muscles inside the eye contract and allow the lens to increase its power and focus. But as you hit your 40s, the lens begins to lose its elasticity, which makes focusing increasingly difficult, says Dr. Doherty. You lose your ability to use your glasses like a zoom lens. Traditionally, eyeglasses have been the mainstay of treatment, but as boomers age and technology evolves, more cutting-edge procedures are taking center stage. Monovision LASIK, for example, is a popular surgical option that strengthens close-up vision in the weaker eye. If you have presbyopia, you are nearsighted, a surgeon can correct one eye for distance. A refractive surgeon first creates a flap in the eye, then lifts it to gain access to the cornea. Using a laser, he then reshapes and steepens the cornea, making it better able to zoom in. The brain learns to favor whichever eye it needs at that moment, so you need glasses less often, says Dr. Bishop. Nearly 90% of patients getting monovision LASIK for presbyopia were satisfied with the results, according to a study. But I definitely recommend that anyone considering this surgery first try out monovision contact lenses to see if it works for her, she says. Another option? Presby-LASIK, a type of refractive surgery that applies different curves to the cornea for clear vision at all distances. Other techniques to correct presbyopia include conductive keratoplasty, which uses radio waves to steepen the cornea, says Dr. Doherty. But over time, the area often relaxes and the eye reverts to where it was. Replacing the lens of the eye with an artificial implant is an option if you have cataracts, but implants don't provide perfect vision, so you may still need glasses. Beyond bifocals, a lot has happened in vision correction in the 200-plus years since Benjamin Franklin invented bifocals. Here, some of the latest advances in contact lenses and glasses. Contact options. You can wear a contact in one eye to correct for nearsightedness and a different type in the other eye for farsightedness. Or you can try bifocal contact lenses to help you see up close and at a distance with both eyes. Multifocus progressive lenses let you see at every distance, near, far, and intermediate. And ortho-K lenses reshape the cornea of the eye while you sleep, temporarily reducing nearsightedness so you can get through the day without contacts or glasses. Eyeglass improvements. Progressive lenses allow you to see near, intermediate, or distance without a discernible line to obstruct vision or scream, "I'm old!" Wavefront optimized lenses are an enhanced type of progressive lens that provides less distortion and a wider viewing area so you can see clearly at all distances. Other advantages include super lightweight lenses, in some cases up to 50% lighter than traditional lenses, and lenses with new coatings to reduce scratches and wick moisture. You don't have to look down through your glasses to read or up to see distance anymore. True focals are glasses with a slider at the bridge of the nose. Like binoculars, they let you zoom in for close work, move out for computer work, and dial out for even further distance vision. I'm pregnant and notice that my vision, which has always been great, is becoming blurry. What's happening? Answer: some vision changes during pregnancy can signal such serious health problems as high blood pressure and gestational diabetes, so you should see your doctor immediately. But chances are the very same hormones that are causing your ankles to balloon and your pelvis to relax are also altering the shape and structure of your cornea, changing the way it focuses. Most vision problems disappear 4 to 6 weeks after delivery, so if the blur is bearable, your best bet may be just to sit tight and wait for clearer days. I'm considering monovision LASIK to correct my presbyopia, but how long-lasting are the results? If I get it done at 45, will I need it redone at 65? Answer: probably not, because LASIK involves permanent removal of tissue from the cornea, says Dr. Doherty. The effects are long-term. A small number of patients may need a redo, he says, but it's not typical. Even if there is some regression, the eye will never revert to where it started. And additional surgery, which involves removing surface cells that may have grown into the area that was treated, is simple to perform. But LASIK won't prevent the development of cataracts, an age-related clouding of the lens that blurs vision. By the time you're 65, any change in vision will likely be due to cataract formation, says Dr. Doherty. And, of course, there's surgery for that, too. Sight savers. Yes, some vision changes are inevitable, but there are things you can do to stop or at least slow the damage. First, stop smoking. The noxious chemicals create inflammation and cause damage to the small vessels of the eyes. That double whammy makes smokers more prone to cataracts and macular degeneration, a disease that damages the central vision, meaning the sight you use to recognize faces or read a book. Wear sunglasses. Shades act as a physical shield, protecting your eyes from the sun's UV radiation, which over time increases your risk of cataracts and macular degeneration. Experts say lens color and price point have no bearing on how effectively sunglasses block light. Just look for a pair that knocks out 100% of UVA and UVB radiation and make sure you wear them. Improve tech habits. More than 40% of us experience eye strain after prolonged computer use, according to a survey from the American Optometric Association. Make sure your computer monitor is at eye level. When it's too high, your eyelid moves up, exposing more of your eye to the air's drying effects. Turn the screen away from a window to cut down on glare. Turn off harsh overhead lights or use shaded desk lamps. Give your eyes a break from the computer screen for a few minutes once an hour. And if you wear glasses, ask your doctor for computer glasses, which have a larger-than-normal portion of the lens devoted to intermediate vision. Watch your diet. More and more research is linking good nutrition to good eyesight. For example, those who eat a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids have a lower risk of age-related macular degeneration, a leading cause of blindness, according to two recent studies. And those who eat 1 to 2 servings a week of nuts rich in omega-3s have a 35% lower risk of early AMD, says an Australian study. Get moving. It will help you avoid diabetes, which can affect your vision. Regular exercise also seems to decrease the risk of AMD. Adults with an active lifestyle, working up a sweat 3 or more times a week, were 70% less likely to develop AMD than those who were more sedentary, says a study from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Evidence suggests that exercise could prevent against development of AMD, but more research is needed to understand why, says Dr. Bishop. And finally, make an appointment. Be as vigilant about eye checkups as you are about mammograms, especially if you have risk factors like diabetes and high blood pressure or a family history of glaucoma or AMD. Even if you've never had vision problems, you should start with a baseline bar exam at age 40, says the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Your eye care professional will recommend when to follow up. And again, more in Body Talk. Good alternatives. Gold standard clinical research shows that some non-traditional medical treatments and supplements really are safe and effective. Magnets relieve pain. Acupuncture boosts fertility. Ginkgo improves memory. Or not. With so many claims out there, it's tough to know what to believe. That's why we decided to get the facts for you. While many non-traditional treatments haven't exactly lived up to their hype, a number of therapies have proved effective in clinical trials, says Adrienne Fugue-Berman, MD, Associate Professor of Complementary and Alternative Medicine at Georgetown University School of Medicine. Some experts object to describing them as alternative, but prefer the term integrative because we use them to complement, not replace, traditional Western treatments, says Kara Kelly, MD, an integrative medicine specialist at Columbia University Medical Center. Three techniques take center stage here as solid treatments, along with some well-studied supplements you may want to discuss with your doctor. Acupuncture. Needle phobes fear not. Even though this millennia-old Chinese therapy involved needles, they're tiny, in fact, teensy, and many people can barely feel them penetrating their skin. Most patients say acupuncture is relaxing, points out Fugue Berman. Why needles? Chinese doctors believed that illnesses were caused by blockages in the body's energy, or qi, and that they could unblock the flow by stimulating specific points in the body. Doctors today know acupuncture stimulates nerve fibers, prompting the brain to release endorphins and enkephalins, opiate-like chemicals that contribute to pain relief, among other things. Like medication, acupuncture prompts real physiological changes, says Jun Mao, MD, an acupuncturist and instructor in the Department of Family Medicine and Community Medicine at the University of Pennsylvania. Neuroimaging studies show that it alters the part of the brain that senses pain. It can also stimulate the release of the feel-good chemical serotonin. What we know for sure? It can relieve pain. Several clinical studies have proved that acupuncture can help relieve different types of pain. For instance, when researchers funded by the National Center for Complementary and Alternative Medicine studied people with osteoarthritis of the knee, they observed that those who received acupuncture had a 40% decrease in pain and nearly a 40% improvement in function. The approach has also received the thumbs up for treating chronic low back pain and headaches. The best part? Unlike pain meds, acupuncture has no side effects. It can reduce nausea and vomiting. No one knows exactly how, but since nausea is triggered by the part of the nervous system that controls involuntary functions, and vomiting is controlled by the brain, it presumably interferes with those pathways. Whether you're getting queasy owing to anesthesia, pregnancy, or chemotherapy, acupuncture can help. In fact, a 2008 review of 40 clinical trials concluded that acupuncture worked as well as commonly used anti-nausea medications. It can boost pregnancy and delivery rates. A 2008 review of 7 studies found that acupuncture can improve pregnancy and birth rates in women undergoing in vitro fertilization. In the studies, acupuncture was used within 1 day of the embryo transfer. Promising new research. With more than 250 recent clinical trials on acupuncture listed in the U.S. government's database, researchers are continuing to zero in on more and more ways you can use the holistic approach to stay healthy. Just this year, studies revealed acupuncture may help relieve menstrual cramps, reduce symptoms in people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, treat depression during pregnancy, ease hot flashes during menopause, and aid in post-stroke rehab. It worked for me. When I was 42, I wanted to get pregnant but was told by 5 IVF clinics that they wouldn't accept me because of my age. One doctor told me I had only a 1% chance of conceiving. It was devastating, but I didn't want to give up. So I did some research and found an IVF specialist in New York City who supports Chinese medicine to enhance fertility. He told me he couldn't promise anything, but he thought he could help. He prescribed Chinese herbal tonics that I drank 3 times a day, and I had acupuncture every week. It was amazing. It really helped me relax. On my second round of IVF in July 2008, I conceived. My pregnancy was healthy, and now I have a beautiful 2-year-old daughter. That from Maggie Raker, 46, of Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Massage. Hippocrates called medicine the art of rubbing, and research today shows that massage can indeed be therapeutic. Any type of massage may cause heart rate, blood pressure, and stress hormones to decline, responses that have many documented positive effects on the body. Moderate but not intense pressure most effectively stimulates the body's pressure receptors. Those, in turn, send signals to the body to relax, says developmental psychologist Tiffany Field, Ph.D., director of the University of Miami School of Medicine's Touch Research Institute. The 20 minutes is all it takes to produce the healthy benefits. What we know for sure? It relieves stress. Seems obvious, but science proves it. And since stress is linked to illnesses as diverse as depression and diabetes, reducing it is one of the healthiest things you can do, says Brent Bauer, MD, director of the Complementary and Integrative Medicine Program at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He and his colleagues recently reported that massage helped relieve anxiety, tension, and pain in patients recovering from heart surgery. Previous studies in stressed-out nurses, as well as breast cancer patients, chronic headache sufferers, cancer patients undergoing radiation, and athletes reached similar conclusions. It can reduce aches and pains. Researchers reviewed 13 studies on low back pain in 2008 and concluded that massage may be beneficial, especially when combined with exercise and education about how to treat the condition. In addition, the study of more than 300 people with advanced cancer found that massage helped relieve pain and improve mood, and researchers from the Group Health Institute in Seattle found that it may help relieve neck pain, at least in the short term. Massage can also minimize post-exercise muscle soreness. It can speed weight gain in low birth weight babies. Dr. Field and her colleagues recently published a review of the scientific literature and found that underweight babies who received 10 to 15 minute sessions of massage several times a day gain 47% more weight on average than those who don't get massage. And Brazilian researchers reported that underweight infants who had been massaged showed significantly higher mental development scores at age 2 than other low birth weight babies. Promising new research. Massage may help relieve labor pain, fibromyalgia symptoms, and depression, says recent research, but more studies are needed to confirm the effects. Several studies are underway or have been recently completed, so more information should be available in the next year or so. It worked for me. I had ongoing jaw and neck pain from a car accident several years ago. I tried physical therapy, Rolfing, you name it, but nothing helped that much. Then in October last year, I began seeing a massage therapist. I can't lie face down because of the pain, so she had me lie on my side. I saw her once a week for 6 months, and I still go as often as I can. She massages me from the waist up, but concentrates on my jaw and neck. Before I started seeing her, my daily pain level was a 5 to 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. Now it's maybe a 3. I'll always have some pain, but it's so much more manageable now. The change in my life has been dramatic. That from Paula Schenk, 45, of Parker, Colorado. It can relieve anxiety and... Whoops, I think I skipped a page, folks. Let me back up here. Yep, I did. Biofeedback. Using sensors or electrodes hooked up to monitors, biofeedback lets patients see their physiological responses to things like stress or pain. They can then learn to adjust and control their bodily processes, such as heart rate or blood pressure, to get the desired result, such as lower blood pressure. If you learn to recognize the sensations of relaxation, for example, you can learn to stay in a more relaxed state, explains Daniel Hawk, MD, a neurologist at Massachusetts General Hospital. What we know for sure? It can relieve headaches and other pain. A review of 55 studies looking at biofeedback for migraines concluded it was effective. We found that 70% of people achieve at least a 50% reduction in the frequency of their migraines. The effects last for at least a year after treatment is stopped, says Deborah Stokes, Ph.D., owner of the Better Brain Center in Alexandria, Virginia. She has studied the effects of neurofeedback, which focuses on brain waves on headaches. It can treat urinary incontinence. Patients focus on contracting the muscles that control flow and have about a 70% improvement in symptoms on average. Research shows it's as effective or more effective than pelvic floor exercises, pelvic floor stimulation, vaginal cones, and medication. It can relieve anxiety and stress. Several well-controlled, randomized studies have shown that biofeedback is as helpful for reducing anxiety as progressive relaxation or meditation because it elicits the relaxation response. It can reduce blood pressure. Biofeedback can help patients learn to control their blood pressure, though it doesn't work for everyone every time. Promising new research. Biofeedback and its cousin, neurofeedback, which focuses more on the brain while teaching patients to relax or respond to certain situations, may help control ADHD, improve sleep, and even help epileptics control seizures. The idea is that if they spend some time every week trying to learn to generate super certain frequencies of brain waves, they can reduce the likelihood of having a seizure, says Dr. Hawk. It worked for me. I've battled anxiety and terrible insomnia for years and have tried therapy and medications to cure it, but nothing helped me that much. I typically wouldn't get more than 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night for days. Then I'd get so tired I'd sleep for 12 hours straight. Sleeping pills didn't work, so when a friend recommended neurofeedback, I thought, why not give it a try? I started it in April this year, and after the 7th session, I slept through the night. I've been getting 7 or 8 hours of sleep fairly regularly since then. Neurofeedback trained me to put my mind in a relaxed state. Now my anxiety level is lower than it has been in years, too. And that from Leanne Klein, 37, of Venice, California. And the newest IT supplements. Turmeric. Who knew? The stuff that makes ballpark mustard yellow is an anti-inflammatory, and many alternative practitioners now prescribe it for pain relief. I use it for arthritis patients, says David Leopold, MD, a pain expert at the Scripps Center for Integrative Medicine in San Diego. He recommends 1,000 milligrams once or twice a day. Rhodiola is an herb grown in cold climates that looks promising for treating depression and fatigue. It's been used for years in Scandinavia, but now a number of clinical trials show its efficacy, says Chierna Lowdog, MD, fellowship director at the Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Recommended dose, 150 milligrams once or twice a day. Algal Da, DHA. This omega-3 fatty acid comes from algae as opposed to fish, so it's less likely to contain ocean pollutants or toxins. It was recently shown to improve memory in healthy people over 55. About 50% of our brains are made of fat, says Michael F. Roizen, MD, chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic and co-author of the U books. DHA is an integral component of cell membranes and the major omega-3 fatty acid found in the brain, so it's essential for optimal brain function. Try 600 to 900 milligrams a day. And three supplement all-stars, fish oil. It's a superstar, especially when it comes to heart health, says Kevin Barrows, MD, interim director of clinical programs at the University of California in San Francisco, the Osher Center for Integrative Medicine. Fish oil has much cumulative research showing it works just as well as cardiac medicines. Take 1 to 3 grams a day to get cardiac benefits, says Dr. Barrows. It may also reduce the risk of depression and help kids with ADHD. Number 2. St. John's wort. More than 20 clinical trials show the herbal remedy treats mild to moderate depression. For some, it works as well as prescription medications, says Dr. Barrows. The typical dose is 300 milligrams 3 times a day, says Gail Mahady, Ph.D., associate professor of pharmacy practice at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Talk to your doctor before taking it, and for severe depression, it's best to stick with prescription meds. Vitamin D. It's essential for bone health and may be crucial for cancer prevention. It could also protect against multiple sclerosis and possibly even the flu. Many women have D levels that are too low, says Dr. Lodog. Have your doctor do a blood test to measure yours. If you're below 32, take a supplement. Up to 2,000 IUs per day is considered safe for most people and is the level cancer researchers are recommending for protective effects. Well, let's move on. I think that's going to finish up Ladies Home Journal for this month. Let's move on to Glamour, and let me share with you the article in here about Reese Witherspoon. Hot, happy, and having a blast. She starred in 25 films and produced 5, birthed 2 kids, and won an Oscar. So why does it seem like Reese's life is just beginning? She talks to Skip Hollandsworth about men, movies, and finding her mojo. Reese Witherspoon walks into Cook Shop, a restaurant in New York City's Chelsea neighborhood, bearing a gift, a small box of chocolates. When I say I'll always cherish them, she cocks her head, levels her blue eyes on me, and cheerfully snaps, "You'd better eat them." At the age of 34, she is as tiny as a kitten, barely 5'2", but it doesn't take long to realize there is nothing fragile about her. She whips off her gray sock hat, orders chicken soup, and is soon recounting the 7 months she spent training with the UCLA softball team to prepare for her latest romantic comedy, How Do You Know?, in which she plays a former star athlete transitioning out of her 20s. Witherspoon, too, went through a significant transition as she entered her 30s, a divorce from actor Ryan Phillippe, the father of her 2 children. Afterward, she took a break from acting. A 2-year relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal came to an end in 2009, but now she is quietly involved with Hollywood agent Jim Toth, who, at press time, she tells Glamour she's not engaged to, and back to working full-time. And she's ready to open up. Maybe it was all that softball, but Witherspoon happily took a swing at every question thrown at her. Glamour. First off, let's talk about this photo shoot. I don't recall you doing these kinds of photos in your 20s. Do you feel sexier at 34 than you did a decade ago? Reese Witherspoon. Much. I was always, as a younger actress, very conscious of not wanting to act sexy. I didn't see myself like that. But I think, as a woman, you get older, you feel more confident in your sexuality. You're not as intimidated by it, not as embarrassed by it. Sexuality and femininity is an accumulation of age and wisdom and comfort in your own skin. I feel better, so much better now than I ever did in my 20s. I'm calmer, I know who I am, and as a result, I feel much sexier. Sexier in the way that you look at yourself in the mirror and say, I feel good. It's more like, this is what I've got, and I'm going to make the best of it. There's always going to be somebody younger or sexier. That's what I like to say, and it's become my famous line, funny doesn't sag. When somebody comes up to me and says, you look hot in that movie, I always respond, but was I funny? For me, it's not really about how you look, but about the joy or the bit of light that you bring to whatever you do. I know I'm just more attractive to people who have a light about them. Speaking of being attracted to someone, is it easier to date a non-celebrity than a celebrity? I have a little perspective on this. I wouldn't say it's easier. Every relationship has its own dynamic, and I don't want to disparage any of the other relationships that I've had that were meaningful and wonderful. But what I'm finding out is that it's very comfortable to be with somebody who understands my career but doesn't do what I do. He's a great guy. He's wonderful. Obviously, the paparazzi and the tabloids are obsessed. How do you handle that? Do you have to stage manage your life, like figuring out obscure places to go for dinner? No, we just go out to dinner. Not that we go to fancy restaurants. The ones we go to, we don't get bothered all that much. Now that your 2 kids are getting older, Witherspoon's daughter Ava is 11 and her son Deacon is 7, how do you keep them from being exposed to all the gossip? We've had one computer that they have to share, and it literally has every blocker you can possibly have on it. I've even gone into the parental controls and typed in gossip websites, specific things they cannot search, my name, their name, all sorts of things. Still, if Ava Googles you on a different computer, what's going to come up first? I don't know. Right now, it'll probably say, I'm getting married, she laughs, which isn't true. I read that the median age for women who get divorced for the first time is right around 30 years old. Laughing. There's this great book called How to Get Divorced by 30. It's hysterical. I've read it a couple times, and I think I could have written it. Well, that's all the time we have for today to read for you from Soup to Nuts. Everything on the plate there, ladies, from soup to nuts. We've run out of time for today's episode of From Soup to Nuts. Be sure to listen again next time. We hope that you've enjoyed it. I'm Linda Orndt, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast. So long until next time.